Psalm 46 is one of those texts that we want to use today, as well as Isaiah chapter 40. And we want to talk about the things that we can still do while being still. And, you know, most of us are born already moving, and then it just gets more moving. And we get into different actions. We learn to walk, we learn to talk, we learn to run. And it really becomes hard to stay still. And yet, as we grow older, we start to slow down a little bit more. And even as I visit individuals in the hospital, sometimes I can see that they are now, they're not doing much. They're staying still. They are just resting. They're in their beds. They're not talking. And, of course, eventually they even stop eating. So I want to read to you again what I already read earlier. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 that says this in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. This is God's word to us. In Isaiah 40, let me just read that there, the last part of the last verses. Many of us know these verses. And it says this: He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, or those who hope, or those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. That is a reminder for us. This is God's word for you and I, that we learn to be still, to not move. You know, in those movies, sometimes when you see, especially like cop movies, and somebody goes like this, that means stop. Don't do anything. Don't take another step. Breathe if you have to, but don't do any more than that. So we want to remind ourselves about those things. Winston Churchill said that attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. So the first sermon this morning on the series is that you can still determine your attitude. Isn't that amazing that nothing of what's going on, none of the restrictions, none of the changes that have taken place can actually determine that for you? You can determine your own attitude. An unknown author says that a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you'll never get anywhere. Some of us are struggling with that right now. It may feel like we have a bad tire. We're not going anywhere. And the attitude is just not as good as we know it should be. I know I struggle with that. Again, somebody else has said that the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude. So can I ask you something? How is your attitude? How is your attitude? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it better than you thought it would be? Is it less than you thought it would be? Are you hoping that it will change? And maybe you're not sure exactly how your attitude is going. Can I tell you something? Ask somebody living in your house, how's my attitude? They will tell you. I don't even have to ask in my household. Sometimes I'm just told, and rightly so, because my attitude isn't always the greatest. So here are some of the challenges that we're facing right now to having a good attitude. Well, there's all these restrictions upon us. We can't go to work, some of us. We can't go to the store as often as we did. We can't visit our neighbors. I've heard lots of people saying, oh, I just want to see my grandkids. So I like to go to the cottage. I would like to go on vacation. I would like to. All of these things, but we can't actually do that. And we also have this sense right now that we are out of control, that we do not have control, rather, that we just don't have control. We can't control so many things because of the restrictions put on us from without. You know, it really begs us to ask a question. Were we ever really in control? There are so many things in our lives, most of them actually, we cannot control. But somehow we get this idea, or we had this idea before COVID-19, that, well, you know, we're in control of where I can go, when I can go, what I can buy, what I cannot buy, all of those things. But we've come to realize that that is not the case. We're also dealing with a sense of loss. We've lost jobs and income, our freedom in some ways, or at least the liberty to go and come and do what we want. For some, our health, or even just a simple loss of connection, of being able to go to Tim's or Starbucks and have a coffee with a friend, or gather, you know, for a barbecue now that the weather is nice. All of these things, we have a sense of loss. For some, I know even some people who would be listening to me this morning, you've lost a loved one. Somebody in the family has died. And you haven't even had the opportunity of a funeral or of a, you know, beginning or continuing in this journey of grief, in grieving the loss of your loved one. And also, the other thing that's a present challenge to a good attitude is not knowing when this will be over, not knowing how the economy is going to turn out, not knowing how long I'm going to have a job, not knowing how the kids are doing in school, not knowing, you know, am I going to run into somebody at the store or pumping gas or something that might have the virus. Actually, I can ask you, if you don't mind, just commenting on the Facebook event. Have you at some point during these 5 or 6 weeks thought to yourself, oh, do I have the virus? My throat hurts. Oh, I'm kind of coughing a little bit. I think I'm running a bit of a high temperature. I think if we're being honest, many of us have been in that position where at some point we thought, maybe I have the virus. But so those are some of the challenges to having a good attitude. Again, I'll repeat, restrictions placed on us, realization that there's so many things we cannot control, a sense of loss, and also the sense of not knowing, of uncertainty. This brings us to Philippians 2, chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to his friends in a city called Philippi, wrote and said this in chapter 2, verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, he goes on to talk in the verses following that Jesus, who had been God from eternity, in this mysterious miracle came down and took on the form of a human being, and then went around for 30 plus years as a servant. And he didn't consider the fact that he was God and equal with God as something that he should try to hang on to for his own benefit. But instead, he humbled himself so that he could become a human being and show all of humanity how much God loves us and cares for us. And St. Paul tells us that it was an attitude that he had that helped him manage this. In the epistle, the book to the Hebrews, towards the end of the New Testament, it says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, for joy that was going to come later, he went to the cross. He died a horrible death because he knew that on the other side, there was this amazing result that would benefit us as human beings, in that we could then have a relationship with God. So that is one of the passages I want to point out to you. And a little later on, in Philippians again, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want to, from these two verses, again, Paul, who's most likely writing this letter from a Roman prison, he is telling people who are not in prison, probably suffering for their faith, but facing some kind of challenges, to think on good things, to set their mind on that which is praiseworthy and noble. And so here's, I want to share with you four or five things that you can do to help improve your attitude. Okay, are you ready? Number one, make Jesus your example or your role model. We see again that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He went through that suffering because he knew that down the road there was something good. He took on this attitude of a servant when he is the most powerful being in all of the universe, in all of non-creation, in everything. And yet he had this attitude that I'm here to serve. So let's make Jesus our role model. If he could endure hard things, certainly we can endure our own hard experience we're going through right now. Number two, control your thoughts. That's what we read in Philippians 4, 8. All of these things, whatever is true and noble and praiseworthy and beautiful and inspiring, Paul says, think of those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul uses this phrase. I really like it. Take every thought captive. Have you noticed how in times like this, our thoughts can really get away on us? You feel a little warm, and then next thing you know, you're convinced you have COVID and you want to self-isolate and you want to go and get tested and you want this and you want that. We really, our thoughts, if we do not take them captive, if we do not exercise control over them, will run rampant on us. And a little thing all of a sudden is going to become this massive thing. Of course, that's also how worry starts. A little thing that becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. So control your thoughts. No one else can do that for you. That is a choice that you have. But it also, can I tell you something? It takes a lot of effort and a lot of discipline to control our thoughts. That's why we need the mind of Christ, as the scripture tells us elsewhere. So make Jesus your role model. Control your thoughts. Number three, find joy in small things. Whether that's the ability to sit outside because now it's warmer. The family and I, we had supper, I think, on Friday night on our deck. I'll tell you, it was a little chilly. But it was nice to simply be able to have a meal outside. I mentioned earlier that one of the highlights of my week is that I got to go mountain biking yesterday for 17 kilometers, a couple of hours, and it was so nice. So we can find joy in small things. Maybe it's in the laughter of a child, maybe seeing some of the sidewalk chalk art that people have done. Maybe it's something you come across, a story that inspires you, but let's find joy in small things. And there's lots of small things. Even, you know, waking up and being able to go and have a shower. Or, you know, being able to enjoy a hot cup of coffee. Or a nice cup if that's what you're into now that it's getting warmer. Number four, keep praying. Keep praying. We may be tempted in a time like this to say, well, you know, I don't know. I've been praying, nothing's happening. And I don't know where God is. But can I tell you that prayer is one of the most beneficial things you can do for your own, not only spiritual health, but for your mental and emotional well-being, to pray, to know that above all the work that is being done by our elected officials, our government, our medical staff, that above and beyond all of that, God is in control and he's working things out. It may not seem that way, but I want to assure you that it is. So keep praying. And lastly, give thanks. Find something to give thanks for. Karis mentioned earlier that she's thankful that she wrote her last university exam for the semester. Maybe you're thankful that the days are getting a little longer and it's starting to warm up. We can be thankful for an opportunity to spend more time with family or to work from home, to have a job. All of these little things we can find reasons to be thankful for. So again, five things you can do to improve your attitude. Let me repeat them. Make Jesus your role model. Control your thoughts. Find joy in small things. Keep praying and give thanks. Philippians chapter 4 again, beginning with verse 4. Paul, writing from a prison, writes this to his friends. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That we can rejoice, we can give thanks, we can pray. And when we do this, I love this part. It says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to just, this little nugget of truth, the word here translated as guard, it's a military term. It means to surround your mind with like a garrison, an army to protect you. God will do that for us with our minds, with our attitudes, when we rejoice, when we give thanks, when we pray. And then we will have His peace. I leave you with this quote from the famous Nobel Prize winner in literature, Elie Wiesel, a survivor of the Holocaust. He wrote this in his famous book, Night. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude towards gratitude. So let's be grateful. And in being grateful, overcome all the challenges we have towards having a good attitude. May God help us.